Hello and welcome to another episode of The Cocktail Conceit. My name is Adam Haskins. I am now a private bartender for my wife because she got a job and told me to not fucking take this in-person fucking factory job that I had just gotten like a day before. And she was just like, nah, I got a remote job. You fucking don't go there. You stay at home and you just be a kept man now. And I said, okay.
Adam, you finally are living your dream of being a trophy husband.
Yes, I'm a trophy husband. Actually, that makes a lot of sense because, yeah, I've been making her a lot of drinks. And I've been working out most every day and there watching what I eat.
Your job is to look pretty and make drinks. There you go.
It's the dream. Fantastic.
That's the bartender's dream.
That's great.
And my name is Logan Redden. I am still a bartender and events coordinator, only the events are not very common, and the bartending is suckier. Yeah, it just kind of sucks more.
I'm really sorry for you, man.
It comes in and goes. It sucks to just be like exposed all the time, but I mean, I do get to still bartend, and most of the people that we get are pretty cool. They're just, you know.
It is good that, yeah, Fidel's, you're not bartending at, like, you know, like, scoreboards down by the river.
If I was bartending at any of the dive bars, I would probably be hating my life at an entirely different level, so, you know.
Yeah, Fidel's is at least, like, a more higher-up, like, high-end kind of bar. So, like, the people who go there are the kind of people who would more likely to have a little bit more wealth, which means they're also more likely to have a little bit more education, which means they're also more likely to take the plague seriously.
Yeah, at least somewhat. Like, you know, mask usage, you know, washing their hands, not being total dumbasses.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not all of them, but it's, you know, majority. So it's not as bad as it could be. Not as bad as it could be. But yeah, I think you missed the part of the intro there. You just went right into yourself. You didn't describe the podcast at all.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
You should really write that down.
Man, you know what? I should, but I'm not gonna.
I mean, we're this deep already. Might as well just roll with it.
Welcome to The Cocktail Conceit. This is a podcast with two best buddies who are bartenders and who live in different places or live in different bubbles, as the case may be, during the pandemic.
Yeah, we actually saw each other this week, which is weird, like in person.
Yeah, we saw each other in person. That was really nice. Mm. And what we do is one of us brings a piece of media that they have a history with and they enjoy, and the other one has not seen or experienced before. And then we talk about it, and at the end, we have to come up with a cocktail based on that piece of media, because that's the conceit.
That's the conceit.
So how you doing, Logan?
Oh, well.
I guess we kind of got onto that, but.
Yeah, I got right onto it. I'm doing pretty okay. And, you know, all things considered. I was kind of bummed out, like, last couple days, but I woke up early this morning and got the rest of my prep done for this record and, you know, made some food. It was good. It was nice.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hung out with my cat. How about you, Adam?
Doing okay? I'm not doing as good as one would think now that me and my partner are like basically safe and basically have like a secure-ish source of income that doesn't require us to go outside. I've been feeling like more down than I have in the weeks prior to that, and I think, and so is she, and I think it's because we finally are in a safe enough place that our bodies can start processing the stress of the past several months.
Yeah, you're probably getting like some anxiety whiplash a little bit there.
Actually,
that always happens to me, so.
Both of us, for like the past week, have been having like loads of stress dreams at night, even though like nothing is particularly bad happening during the day. So, but I wasn't having that even like a month ago when we were, you know, homeless and didn't have a job and didn't have any prospects and we were like, fuck, fuck, fuck.
And like trapped in Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah. But now that we're like here and safe and secure, like now we're experiencing the stress of those like previous misadventures.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, also it's finally starting to become like winter. Well, not winter, like actual fall where it's kind of cold out. So that probably doesn't help either, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, the cold usually doesn't give me stress dreams. But yeah,
that's true. But it might make you feel a little depressed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I feel you on that. So what you drinking, Adam?
Right now I'm drinking a 50-50 martini.
Ooh.
So it's an ounce and a half gin, mm-hmm. an ounce and a half vermouth. The gin I'm using is Citadel, mm-hmm. which I really like. In most places...
You've told me about it before.
Yeah, yeah. It's by Pure Ferrand. Pure Ferrand is, I think, my favorite liquor company. Mm-hmm. It's just a solid classic gin. It's a French gin, but so it's not like as like crazy dry as the big three London dries.
Yeah.
But it's also not like, it's very juniper driven. It's not like citrus and or off the wall kind of flavor driven as a bunch of American gins are. And it's costed really good, like all Pure Friend stuff.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. No, I've only had their cognac and their dry curacao, but both are really solid and like really not that expensive for the price point they're at, which is nice.
You've had a ton of their stuff because their Pure Ferrand is Plantation.
Oh shit, then yeah, I have, because I actually have going to what I'm drinking, I'm actually drinking Plantation daiquiri. I'm using the white and the pineapple because it's kind of a it's a strawberry banana pineapple daiquiri.
That sounds awesome.
Which sounds really busy, but I made a banana peel syrup, which is really nice and adds like a little bit of flavor, but it's not super aggressive. I got a strawberry syrup I made, and then I used the pineapple Plantation.
I'm gonna need you to send me the recipe for that banana peel syrup, because I'm about to make a bunch of banana pancakes one morning this week, and I'm gonna have like three banana peels sitting around.
Yeah, dude, it's really easy to make. The only thing that you would weird that you'd need is you need like a little bit of cinnamon to add in.
Well, we have whole cinnamon.
That works. That's what I do. I've got like some whole cinnamon. I have a zester, or like a it's not a zester. It's
microplane.
A microplane, and I just grate some into it, and it works perfect. So
okay.
Yeah, and it makes a decent amount for at least the amount I have. I also need the recipe, but it's really easy. I found it online. I think I got it through Educated Barfly. Did something with it at one point, and they posted their recipe that they use. Mm. And it's
speaking of syrups that you make, I picked up the day when we saw each other, I was picking up a lime Earl Grey cordial that you made, mm-hmm. and that shit's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. Really, really happy with it.
So, okay, so what have I made with it so far? I followed your advice, and I did just 1 ounce of the cordial and then 2 ounces of gin, mm-hmm. and that came out pretty good. I liked that, mm-hmm. But then I just... threw in a good amount of dashes of coriander bitters, and cardamom bitters, and that was pretty good. And so then I was like, all right, what can I do with this next? And so I decided to go 1 ounce of the cordial and then 2 ounces of rum, mm-hmm. Plantation 3-star, and then like 2 or 2.5 dashes of Peychaud's bitters, and that flavor combination was really good. I fucked up a little bit because I was like, because when I went to dash the Peychaud's bitters, it glugged a little bit more, which is why I said 2.5.
Yeah.
And so I added in like 5 more mils of citrus juice, and that made it too citric.
Yeah.
I bet you would have really liked it because it was probably very tart forward.
I do like my stuff really tart in general.
I bet you would have liked that version of that drink. But I'm gonna try and make that again maybe tonight or tomorrow and. Sweet. Just do Peychaud's bitters, cordial, and rum.
Yeah, let me know how that goes. I haven't honestly... I'm probably going to make more of that that lime cordial because it was stupid easy to make. And it's actually a really good way to get like the full value out of all of your citrus. Because all of the other ingredients are like shelf stable. And the cordial itself has so much sugar in it and acidity that it is also like... I mean, I haven't tested how long it'll last exactly. But like the stuff I just gave you is almost a month old. And I'm sure that it's... fine.
No, yeah, it's still rocking. It's good. Yeah. And if you keep it in the fridge, like...
Yeah, I kept it refrigerated the whole time, and that's what I eat for most of my stuff, because I know that if you have enough of a sugar content, you can... It's technically shelf-stable, so you can leave it out, but it will just last longer
in the fridge, so might as well put it in there.
Yeah.
It's like vermouth. Like, you could just leave it out if you're going to use the whole bottle in a day or two, but put it in the fridge, and it'll just last a little bit longer.
Yeah, it'll last decently longer. I need to not buy full bottles of vermouth anymore because I don't go through them fast enough.
No, yeah, you can't. Like, yeah, you gotta buy the tiny bottles.
Just one person, it's hard to do it. The problem is that most of the brands don't sell the halves, or it's hard to find them outside of Oh, shoot. What's the Antica? Antica sells a half of their suite, but I can't think of. I mean, Dolan has a half of the dry, maybe.
I don't think so. At least I haven't seen one.
I feel like I've seen Dolan before.
I haven't seen a. I'm sure they do make them. It's just hard to come by. I know that Coqui Torino, like you can get 375s of that.
Oh, sweet. And that's actually my preferred. I like the their sweet vermouth is my preferred.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're dry or they're what is it called? Is it Americano?
Americano. Yeah.
It's not quite a dry vermouth.
It is specifically not supposed to be a dry vermouth.
Yeah, I've seen people use it in place of dry vermouths and it works kind of, but it's got a very different flavor profile.
Yeah, it is supposed to be. It's their version of Lillet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lillet is not, is I guess Lillet is kind of like an off dry vermouth, sort of like Dolan Blanc.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of the three of those, like Lillet Blanc and Coqui Americano and Dolan Blanc, I think Dolan Blanc is the cheapest one, and it's definitely my favorite. It's the other component in this 50-50.
Oh, nice. I haven't tried Dolan Blanc. I tried their sweet vermouth. I didn't really care for it. It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Dolan's sweet vermouths.
It just didn't have a lot of complexity to it.
Yeah, no.
Their dry vermouth is fine. In a Manhattan, and it just did not stand up at all. I could basically only taste my rye whiskey, and I'm like, it's not that good. Whereas, Antica is like way too overpowering, where Coqui is my favorite because it's got like a nice flavor, but not. It plays with the rye a lot better rather than one being more dominant.
Coqui Torino, I think, is definitely my favorite sweet vermouth. And like you said, yeah, Antica is good, but it's just, a vermouth is not supposed to be the spotlight. Yeah. And I think Antica is way too much there.
I was doing like a perfect martini or a perfect Manhattan, I would use Antica. Because I think if you're using less of it, and then you have got other ingredients in there to play with it, it'd probably be better. But
yeah,
when it's like a good third of your cocktail, then it's just too much. But yeah,
anyway. It's like such a weird spot to be in, because like Antica is good to use in Manhattan if your like whiskey component isn't the strongest, isn't the best.
Yeah.
But Antica is so expensive that the only place you would get a Manhattan with Antica in it is someplace that also spent the money on the whiskey. Yeah. In which case you wouldn't want that. You would want something a little subtler like Coqui Torino.
Yep. Would agree. I've been trying to convince them to order Coqui for Fidel's, and they haven't done it, so.
It's cheaper. Do it.
I know. It might be an ordering issue, because I know we have issues getting certain things from certain distributors. Or it might be that our GM just doesn't care about what kind of vermouth we use. So, you know. That's fine. I did convince them to go to the 375s, because we were using the full bottles, and I'm like, we don't make enough Manhattans or martinis to warrant having a full size bottle. Like, we just don't go through it fast enough. Like if we're sitting on a full bottle of vermouth for like over a month and we're a fucking full bar, it's bad. Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
It's like, it'll just go bad before you get to use all of it. And then you're going to end up with people that get shitty cocktails.
They're either going to give people shitty cocktails or you're going to pour that down the drain.
Yeah.
Either case is not optimal.
No. It's a bad time. It's a bad time.
Okay, so should we get into what we're actually supposed to be here to talk about today?
Yeah, for sure. We're like 15 minutes in, so yeah. let's do that.
That's all on you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about one of my favorite albums, and one of my, not just favorite, like, one of my first albums as like an adult, I guess I would say, like, that I've listened to. It's Plastic Beach by The Gorillaz. Which is their third studio album. I don't really know where to start with that other than I have quite a history with it, I guess. It's like not the first album I ever bought as like a adult, like in like high school. But it's like the first one that I really like delved into. So like I got the Demon Days, the second album by Gorillaz first. And was really, really into Gorillaz, like my first like favorite band, basically, or like band that I really got into. Because you and I actually share this, we never went through emo phases in high school.
Yeah, no.
So before that, all I would listen to was like whatever was on the radio or like classic rock or whatever. I didn't really have like, I didn't listen to albums. I didn't really have a favorite band. Like if people would ask me that, I had no idea how to respond to that, basically. And then I picked up Demon Days. Was my very first like real like choice album, like that first album I decided to buy. And
first album, like you were like, I'm at the store, I have my own money, I'm gonna buy this with my money.
Yeah, and this is like a bit like I'd heard a bunch of their singles before, and I knew that I liked those a lot. Like those are like some of my favorite songs. I always jammed out to them when they came on the radio, and then I was like, yeah, I want to check out this band more. And I listened to that one and got really, really into the Gorillaz, like obsessively into the Gorillaz. Like that's basically all I listened to for like 2 years.
Like really deeply into one specific thing, and yeah. the way that only like a high schooler can be.
But so I got into them right before this album was announced, and I was there on like the ground floor of it coming out, basically.
Mm.
So like I'd gotten really into I got Demon Days and their first album, and I listened to those a lot. I got all their EP albums, like their little side project albums they did for Gorillaz, which are all really good, by the way. I would recommend listening to those if you're into their sound. And then I was fucking around on their website, which at the time was like an adventure game. It was like a point and click adventure game, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, with like all the characters and shit were in it, and there was like little stuff you could do and like little mini games and shit. And I played that like on the computer in my English class all the time when I was definitely doing my English work. Then one day I logged into it, and they had changed it because their new album was coming out. So it was like, here's this band that I've been like obsessively into, didn't know they were even working on a new album, and then it drops, and it's like the best fucking feeling for me. Like that's like the first time I've got like hyped about a new album coming out for a band I liked, basically.
Really cool.
Yeah. So it's like it wasn't the first album by them I ever listened to, but it's like got a very special place in my heart as an album because of where it fits into like my musical development as a person, I guess. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. All right, that's really cool.
So yeah, that's kind of my history on it. You've never listened to this before, right?
I have never listened to this album before. Gotcha. There was one song on here that I had heard before, and it was Rhinestone Eyes, and I literally just heard it within the last year.
That really surprises me that was the only one that you'd heard, because the first one I heard was Stylo. Stylo was the first, because that was the first single they released.
Yeah.
So they changed their website, and then they released that music video. And then that was the beginning of their like album stuff, basically. So that was the first one I heard. And Rhinestone Eyes is one of their singles, I think. But it wasn't one of the first released, even. So that kind of surprised me that was your first experience to them.
I think I heard it at a bar I was working at, and then I was just like, I like this. I don't know who this is, but I'm going to put it on my Tiki playlist.
Yeah.
And I figured out, oh, it's the Gorillaz. Like, and I was like, oh, no wonder I like it. Because I've heard the Gorillaz before, and like I'm never upset when I hear the Gorillaz.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, the Gorillaz. Oh, cool. Yeah, I like that. I think the only other song that I really got into by them was Humility.
Humility is really good. Which I also
put on my Tiki playlist. I think Rhinestone Eyes is a kind of a weird song to put on a Tiki playlist, but I think I put it on there because I already had one other Gorillaz song.
I mean, I kind of feel that. I mean, this whole album's got like a very like ocean, beachy, like nautical kind of vibe going for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is called like Plastic Beach.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of the thing they were going for. And actually, like that's a big thing I would say about this album in general is that it's a lot to do with like the kind of synth music choices they make for the music. But to me, it kind of goes in and out on some songs. But most of the songs have a very like plastic, like artificial kind of sound to them. It's like,
yeah, I can see that.
It's very poppy, but like it feels, it gets that feeling of like a plastic oceanic kind of vibe to it all throughout, which I like a lot. And obviously,
I remember hearing it throughout like this album. There's this one like sound that's in Rhinestone Eyes,
mm-hmm.
And it's this like, yeah, this very synthetic, like ding 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 ding, like almost metronome-esque type noise. And that's in several other songs on this album, and I can tell that they were playing around with that noise in particular, like throughout like most of these songs.
That's pretty common, honestly, with some of their other stuff that they've done. Like Demon Days, I noticed it a lot. There's some sampling they do for Demon Days that's in multiple songs, and then is also in some of their B-side stuff they release as a full album as well. So it's not super uncommon. I think that, but that, I don't know, it kind of works because it kind of gives like a through line to a lot of different songs to me as well. So what did you, do you want to go into any specific songs, or you just want to talk about how you felt about this album in general, or what's
Okay, so I listened to this album. I actually struggled to get through this album. This is the only other like topic that you brought that I've like struggled to get through other than Akira. I didn't like this. I liked, but I struggled to get through this, sort of related to what I was talking to you about, how me and my partner have just been feeling like backlash, like stress. And so I just haven't been like listening to any music whatsoever. And you know, you listen to music for an emotional reaction, and I just feel like I've had a deep lack of emotional reaction to spend on anything.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
And so if we wanted to go through and like talk about each individual song like we did on Beat the Champ, I don't think I would have much to say about any of them.
That's pretty fair.
Because all I would say is like, I listened to this. There were sounds.
That's pretty fair. That's pretty fair. But in general, did you like the album? How did you feel about it?
I don't think I'm ever going to go back and listen to any of the songs on here like I did with Beat the Champ, other than like Rhinestone Eyes, which I already listened to on its own. And maybe Melancholy Hill. I did notice that
is a pretty good one.
Of all the songs on the album, I liked the ones that are just the Gorillaz way more than any of the songs featuring anybody, which most of this album is like a featuring album.
Yeah, that tends to be a thing with them. They do a lot of collaboration.
I think that's very cool. I do like that concept. But yeah, I clearly enjoyed the ones that are just them way more than any of the other ones.
That's pretty fair. I actually, I mean, it's partially probably because I've listened to so much Gorillaz, I actually really like their collaboration stuff a lot on this one.
Yeah.
And like, not to say that like, Rhinestone Eyes is a really good example. That's one of their solo, like there's no collaborators on that one. That is probably one of my, not my favorite song, but maybe my favorite of the singles that's on this. It's just a really good single track, like, that makes any sense. Like, if you took this out of the album, I think it's just solid song by itself.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I really like Stylo is like my first single that I heard from this album is one of my favorites, and that's got Bobby Womack and Mos Def. And I think that it just plays really well. It's like a really good, like, it's got a really good beat to it. Like, it's just, like, I really like it. Like, I mean, obviously the music video, and I had you watch those too as well with this.
Yeah, I did like the music videos.
The music videos are all really good. They always put out solid stuff. But the Stylo one specifically is them driving, like, a high-speed chase, basically. And it's got Bruce Willis in it, which I think is hilarious.
And it's really funny that Bruce Willis is, like, chasing them. It's like, that's great.
I just got Bruce Willis to be in it. It's freaking hilarious. But no, but like that's like for me, that's such a driving song. Like if I'm just cruising down the highway and Stylo comes on, it's just like perfect. It feels just right.
Yeah, this is excellent.
Yeah, I can just kind of jam to it and just drive. It feels good. But so I really like that one as a single as well. And then one of my favorite songs, actually two of my favorite songs on this album, they're probably my two favorites, is Some Kind of Nature and To Binge. Or my, like, probably top two songs on this album. And those are both collaboration ones. They're more like duets, almost. Some Kind of Nature is Damon Albarn, who's the lead singer for Gorillaz.
And they're Lou Reed.
And Lou Reed.
Yeah, a lot of these songs on here with collaborations, I like the ones that, the people I know, I like those. I like Snoop Dogg. I do think the song that he's in, Welcome to the World of Plastic Beach, mm-hmm. is kind of weak.
Yeah, it's a little one note. I think it works as like an intro, like a soft intro to this album, mm-hmm. Which I think is probably why it's where it's at. Mm-hmm. Like if that song was like deeper into the album, I'd be like, eh, like why is this even on here? But because it's like one of the first tracks you get, and it like that first orchestral intro kind of leads into it, I think it works really well. But yeah, I would probably agree with that in general. It's definitely not the strongest on this album.
I think on that note, you said like the orchestral intro leads into Welcome to the Plastic Beach. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that some of the songs on here like do lead into each other, but then some of them are like hard, like chunk cutoffs.
Yeah.
Like Rhinestone Eyes doesn't get led into by White Flag and doesn't lead into Stylo.
No.
And I think a good number of the middle songs feel that way. But then there are just a few songs that have connecting tissue throughout the album.
There's a Unlike, few that do. I think towards the middle it gets a little better about it, because it's like the first three do really well. Rhinestone Eyes isn't too bad for me from White Flag to that.
Yeah.
But then like I don't think Stylo leads super well, and then I think from Stylo to Superfast Jellyfish isn't too bad. And then what is it? Empire Ants, Glitter Freeze go pretty well together. They're like kind of almost paired. Is the next two songs, and then Some Kind of Nature is kind of on its own a little bit in there.
And I do like Some Kind of Nature. I like Lou Reed. I like Mos Def. So I do like Stylo. And I like Snoop Dogg. I think if it had been anyone other than Snoop Dogg in Welcome to the World of the Plastic Beach, I would not like that song in any way.
Yeah, but he definitely just Snoop carries Dogg, that song by himself.
Yeah. He's basically just... It's basically just 3.5 minutes of him being like, I'm Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
I'm on a Gorillaz album.
I sure am.
That's pretty cool, right?
I'm here.
And that's the whole bit.
Yeah, pretty much. And
I am okay with that.
They made a little video for that. I think I sent that to you too. It's not like a full Gorillaz video, but it's basically just Snoop Dogg being goofy in a suit with a top hat.
It is. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because of the two notes I took, that is the majority of them.
Yeah.
And it's, I love Snoop Dogg. He's my favorite hip-hop figure to come out of the West Coast 90s NWA scene. I think that Snoop Dogg is the most confident person in the world.
It's pretty fucking close. Like, his confidence levels. And it's probably just because he's just so high all the time that he just can't be bothered to care.
I think he's so confident, unlike all the other figures that come out of that West Coast scene at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of them are very like Ice, like he's very like, and like Eazy-E, they're very like, like all the NWA guys, they're very like, I'm gonna like outwardly show my confidence. But in a lot of ways that's a, oh, maybe you're not confident because you're trying so hard to project confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a lot of figures, I would say maybe even Ice-T again, but in his later life, who got really, really goofy and like started doing like kids movies and stuff, and started acting somewhat foolish, becoming more of like a court jester type figure.
Yeah.
And I think there's also a sense in like, oh, you're so confident that you'll like, you know, you'll let yourself be the butt of the joke, but it'll roll off your back because you're so confident. But I don't think that's quite right, because a lot of people will let themselves be the butt of the joke in order to get people to like them, which is also a type of ill confidence. So Snoop Dogg will show up and film a video in like a stovetop hat and like a goofy jacket.
Yeah.
But he won't like become a complete like doofus court jester just to get people to like him.
No, I always kind of get the feeling he's just being whatever he wants to be at the moment. Like, he's not being convinced or like pushed to do anything. He's just like, yeah, I'll do that. Sounds great. Absolutely.
The hat that he wore in that music video does not match the jacket, which makes me think that Snoop Dogg was in the costume area and was like, that's a dope hat. I'm gonna wear that hat in the music video. And they were like, okay.
Sure. Whatever you want to do, man. And I also, I haven't listened to a lot of Snoop Dogg stuff. I'm not like a huge Snoop Dogg fan musically. I like him as like a personality. And also it makes me really happy to know from like all accounts that I've seen, he's just generally a really good dude.
Yeah, he's
like really like an attentive father, like really takes care of his kids, like it, like went out of the way his way to like not be super aggressive into his music for a while so he could just spend time with them and like
he's like be a he's part of their the best of us.
Yeah, it's great.
He's confident enough that he can just be a nice person.
Exactly.
And I think I like his music as like the second wave of the like West Coast hip hop scene from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the reason one of his like seminal songs, Gin and Juice, is so good is because it's not about like, oh, I'm hard, or oh, it's hard out here. It's a very slice of life. Slice of life. He is the only slice of life hip hop artist I know of from the 90s.
Yeah.
You could say that Biggie has a lot of slice of life songs, but they aren't. It's mostly him talking about his own life, whereas Snoop Dogg just talks about life in general in his music.
Yeah.
And how he's just like calmly and confidently going through it. And man, fuck, I love Snoop Dogg. Let's do a podcast where I just talk about Snoop Dogg.
I mean, we can do that. We can totally make that happen. Totally make that happen. But yeah, no, so like, I know I do really like the collaborations in this album. Mm-hmm. And there are, and I think that's probably because I've listened to so much Gorillaz in general that like I've heard the solo Damon Albarn Gorillaz stuff to death. Like he does it really, really well. Like, especially like we were just talking about Humility, some of their new albums. That album is one that was almost entirely just Damon Albarn that also has Snoop Dogg on it. On another track. Nice. But I think that track and then like one other track are the only ones that have any guests on it. The rest of the album is just all Damon Albarn doing his Gorillaz thing. And it works pretty well. Like, it's pretty good.
So, who is David Albarn? Who are the Gorillaz? I have never been into the Gorillaz enough to get
the answer to that is inside stuff. Very complicated. Because basically, the Gorillaz is just a moniker that Damon Albarn and his friend Jamie Hewlett use. Damon Albarn does the music. Damon Albarn is the lead singer from Blur originally.
That's what he was initially
famous for. And then he became friends with Jamie Hewlett, who is known as the guy who did Tank Girl, like the comic. He does all the art, basically. He invented the characters, but basically they were hanging out a bunch in like the early or like the late 90s, early 2000s. And they were kind of just spitballing this idea, and it came from the idea of like how like almost like how boy bands were becoming really popular and how like phony musicians almost like that they were like people like fake personalities being propped up and then music put behind them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Basically that idea. And like Damon Albarn had been in not like it's almost like a proto boy band, Blur. And not that their music is actually really good, but like the way that the media and their label tried to push them was basically like that, where it's like, hey, look at these four pretty dudes, girls, come listen to their pop rock music. And then going from that to seeing like in the early 90s that pop music was basically like devoted to that kind of idea. Like all the really popular pop music was that.
It was the beginning of what's it called, Icon or Idol? It was the beginning of the Idol bands where there would just be a model up front who could sing, but all of their
music was made by them. Like,
no,
yeah,
so that they were just given a piece of paper and they're like, sing this, and they're like, okay.
So basically, the idea for Gorillaz came with like that was a thing that was kind of going on, and they were kind of frustrated about it. And they were just like, hey, why don't we just make a fake band? I'll make the music, you make the animated band members, and it's like a whole loop on it. Like it's like that to the extreme almost. And then Damon felt better about it because now I don't have to be in the spotlight. I can just make music, and the band members will be in the spotlight, and I just get to make whatever the fuck I want, whatever weird shit I want to do, I can do it. And Jamie gets to make cool animated dudes, and it worked really fucking well. And there were like not so much now, but they were like at one point like the most popular like fake animated band that's ever been, and now that's kind of coming around again because it's like there's like a lot of Korean, like I've heard they're called, but
K / DA or something.
Yeah, like, it's like they're making like animated girls and putting out music, and the music is apparently pretty good.
Like, but Hatsune Miku exists now.
Yeah, but it's basically that same idea. But now it's become like almost normalized because of things like what the Gorillaz did and that kind of idea. So
they really were like I guess the first ones to do that.
Yeah, and like 20 fucking years ago too. So they're like way ahead of the curve.
So it's basically just been those two guys.
They're the only two that are like that have been there from the beginning. There's been a bunch of people who've come in and out that play like do the music on the albums and like help play, but like Damon is the main like musical creator and producer for most of it. They've had other producers come on to like help out. I think Damon did the producing on this one, but then like Demon Days was done by I forget what his name is. It's gonna bug me if I don't remember. A really, really famous producer.
LP. No.
Danger Mouse. Danger Mouse.
Oh.
Did Demon Days.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
who did Danger Doom, you might know as well.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's done a bunch of other stuff, but Danger Doom, or Danger Mouse produced Demon Days. So it's not like totally been them, but then they've had like, they pull in a bunch of collaborators, like their initial album, the self-titled one had Del the Monkey Homo Sapien did all of, like almost all their hip hop stuff. And he's a super, super good hip hop artist. But that one was basically just like Damon doing whatever he wanted for the music and then Del coming in to do hip hop, and then they brought in a couple other people here or there to do some stuff, and then they basically just been pulling in different people to collaborate here and there.
So all the personas that exist in like the music videos,
yeah,
are those connected to any actual people? Or
2D is loosely based off of Damon. Everyone else is pretty much made up. Russell is kind of Del, but not really. Because Del is actually a ghost character. If you watch the Clint Eastwood video,
yeah,
Del the Funky Homo Sapien is Del the ghost in that. So everyone else is pretty much just made up. But 2D has some, like, there's a few, like, it's obviously like exaggerated, but like has some aspects of Damon. Most notably, he's missing a front tooth. Damon has, I don't know if it's his whole tooth, but he has one of his teeth his front teeth is chipped or knocked out.
Oh, okay.
And then 2D is always missing at least one tooth, like of his front two teeth, which is a thing.
2D, which character is that?
He's the lead singer. Have you seen the Humility music video?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the main guy. That's
the skating around.
Around. Yeah, that's 2D.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so there's 2D, there's Murdoch, who's the bassist, who's kind of just like a like Satanist type dude. Did you watch that the Cribs video that I sent you?
Yeah, I did.
That's Murdoch.
Who voices him?
He's like an actual person. Give me a second. I could probably figure it out.
So I remember at the end of that fake MTV Cribs video, there's just a bunch of unused dialogue where it was clear that he was just riffing in the sound studio.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, this is all funny, but we can't figure out a place to put it in, so we're just going to like have a minute at the end of this video where we just play the audio.
His name is Phil Cornwell, and he's still doing all the voices for Murdoch to this day. And I think he was also, if I remember correctly...
Is he a musician at all or just a voice actor?
He's just a voice actor. They have a voice actor for 2D as well. I forget what his name is.
Who provides the main... so is Damon the guy who provides the vocals?
Yeah, he does the vocals and most of the music.
Okay.
And what was your other question? It sounded like you had more than one there.
Wouldn't he be the one who voice acted 2D then?
No, they have someone else who does it.
Okay. Oh, like the old Disney cartoons where there would be one voice actor and one...
Exactly.
Singing actress.
Which is weird. It's super weird. Yeah, let me see here. I'm almost positive that he's in. Oh, there's been a bunch of different people who've done... Or there's two different people who've done 2D's voice. It was one person up until 2017, and now it's another person. But Damon does all the singing for TV.
And is there like a big, huge, long, like from like for the whole 20 years, like a story going on in all the music videos? Or
yeah, there is, but it's really convoluted and complex, and I don't even know how to get into it, honestly. Yeah. Okay. So I mean, let's just look on Wikipedia. So Murdoch is basically like loosely based off of Keith Richards, and then Tootie is apparently partially based off of someone that Damon and Jamie knew in person, but has kind of now become like the representation for Damon because he does all the lead singing, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got Russell, who is their drummer, who I don't really know much about other than that, but he's like their hip hop angle on it. And Noodle, who's their guitarist, who is a small Asian girl who got delivered to their studio in a box. That's like a thing. And then eventually they thought she was dead for a while, and then they made a robot cyborg version of her, and then the cyborg version's dead. Now she's aged up in real time, basically, because she was like supposed to be like 11 or something, or 10 or 11 during the first album, so now she's like in her 30s.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, also, okay. They totally had, you've seen the Humility music video. One of the Gangrene Gang was briefly part of the Gorillaz because he replaced Murdoch as the bassist.
Oh, no shit. That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Because Jamie Hewlett's friends with the guy who created Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah,
they're in canon in the same universe because there's a Powerpuff Girls movie.
Oh, wait, is that... Then who is the zombie guy in a bunch of the videos, the music videos in Plastic Beach? Like, he's the guy driving the car in Stylo.
Oh, that's Murdoch. That's Murdoch.
Okay, that's Murdoch.
Yeah.
Murdoch is sometimes a zombie.
It's, yeah, there's a really convoluted thing about that, too. He apparently, like, sold his soul to the devil for immortality and for, like, being able to be a great musician. So he's like kind of undead a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 There's a lot. There's a lot. There's so much.
I did really like in the music videos how one played into the next.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they never actually made the music video to what is it?
Oh, for Rhinestone Eyes.
Yeah.
We were kind of talking about it before we started recording. They had initially planned for, I think, 4 music videos. And one of them was going to be Rhinestone Eyes. And that was going to be their 4th single release. And then they were also going to do 2 Binge as another single. I don't know if they had plans for a music video for that one, though. But apparently, they got most of the way through the storyboarding for Rhinestone Eyes, which is why they released it. And the label decided they wanted them to do Don Comatic as the last single for Plastic Beach, even though it wasn't actually on the album. It's just another collaboration they did around the same time that didn't get finished until after the album was released, more or less.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't released until like that, like the album came out like in the spring, and then the Don Comatic came out as a single like that fall, I think. So there was like a gap there. But so basically they decided they weren't going to finish the Rhinestone Eyes music video. Instead, we're going to divert to the Don't Come Attic one, which was a cheaper video to produce and they thought would be a better single. So that's what they did.
Okay.
Which kind of sucks, but yeah, it's a whole thing. The Don't Come Attic song is really good. That's a really, really good single.
I actually do really like that song.
No, it's super good. Super, super good song. Bums me out that I'm assuming they had like timing just didn't work out, like it was supposed to be on the album initially and it just didn't end up getting done
probably
in time.
Something like that.
Because it is still like their song. They just didn't have it done by the time they were releasing Plastic Beach, because apparently there was a lot of stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor for this album, and that tends to happen with the Gorilla stuff a lot, because they'll just do a bunch of collaborations and some stuff might not make it in for whatever reason. And usually what they did for the previous two albums, the self-titled and Demon Days, is they released a whole separate album that was just like B-sides and rarities, basically stuff that they just didn't feel like putting on the main album, or didn't think it was quite up to snuff, or it just didn't quite fit, or wasn't quite done, or like remixes and stuff.
Because on the Wikipedia it says this album was preceded by D-Sides.
Yeah, D-Sides is the B-Sides release of all the Demon Days stuff, basically. And they never did it for Plastic Beach, and they haven't done it for in their albums since then, kind of. But there was a lot of talk about them releasing a P-Sides that would be just all of their unreleased stuff from this. Supposedly, they still have all that material, and they may release some of it at some point, but it's never really been a priority, apparently. So, because they produced a lot of new stuff since then.
Yeah. And this is actually pretty apropos that we're doing this right now, because they just released another album that you've been really hype about, and I haven't heard or seen any of.
It's really good. It's called Song Machine Season 1. It's kind of... It's considered their next, like, full studio album. But it's more on, like this is, like, a very conceptual album, and so was Demon Days, I think. Less so Gorillaz, that was more experimental. But one definitely, it seemed like they had an idea of the type of album they wanted to make, and they spent a lot of time, like, getting the theming down on a lot of stuff. And then they brought in the collaborators here and there. Song Machine is done in a very different way, where it's, like, Damon wants to make a song. He'll have some music he's working on. He'll decide a collaborator or a couple that he wants to work with. And he'll just send them the music, and they'll collaborate, and they'll make a thing, and they'll move on to the next one. So it's a little bit more compartmentalized.
It's sort of just like a grab bag of things.
But it's put out some of their most consistent stuff in years, like probably since this album came out. Because like I like the now that Humility is off of, which is also considered a full studio album, but it's definitely... almost more like a Damon solo project than it is like a Gorillaz album, because I think in order to be a Gorillaz album, you really got to have all of those collaborators coming in to kind of shake things up a little bit. In my opinion, at least I like it better when they do a lot more of that, as long as it works well. So
I really like that, because it shows that he's just an artist. Like he's going to make music no matter what, because he has to just get it out.
Yeah, no, he's like seems super, super passionate about his art in general, and just makes good music more often than not. I probably listen to just about everything that he's put out between like Blur, and he did a solo album a while back that was pretty decent. I just not as good as the Gorilla stuff.
What was the solo album?
It's called Everyday Robots, I think. But it's under his actual name, Damon Albarn. But it's definitely more, I don't know, it's less like synth heavy. It's more, it's less synth heavy and less experimental, where it's, I don't know, more like rock pop.
Oh, okay.
A little folky. It's definitely not bad.
He had time to like make his own album. That reminds me of, I've heard of Neil Young. I haven't listened to really much of any Neil Young.
I don't know a lot of Neil Young either, honestly.
I just have heard these crazy stories about him where he will put out an album every year.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that for 30 or more years. And it's to the point where like a bunch of the album covers, one of them was a picture of a garage that he took on like his flip phone in the 2000s.
That's wild.
Another one was a picture he took with his son's Game Boy camera. And the titles are just meaningless. They're just a couple words, because whoever has the rights to like put out his stuff just goes, "Hey, Neil, what's the next thing?" He goes, "Here's the album cover. It's called Robots. And they're just like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "Here's 12 songs. No, 13. No, 14. No, 11. Don't put that one out." And they're like, "Oh, okay." And he has to get it out. Like, it's... even if no one was paying for him, he would have a SoundCloud account. Like, Neil Young, if his label dropped him and for some reason nobody wanted to publish Neil Young things, he would start a SoundCloud account, like, the next day.
No, jeez. Yeah, no, I haven't. I've listened to some Neil Young, like more than popular, like the pretty well known stuff by him. But I've never listened to a full album by him.
There's a couple stories I've heard about him that make me want to listen to some stuff, but I don't want to spend the time doing it. Because he has an album called Transformer Man, or like Transformer or something, where he got a Wawa box, like a vocoder.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm Neil Young. This is a new thing. I'm going to play with this. And he found out that his son, who has autism, really responded to when he was making music and using the vocoder.
Yeah.
So he just went ahead and made an entire album using that vocoder.
It's wild.
And it's the whole album is that. And that doesn't make a good album.
No. But he's Neil Young, like, so he can just do it.
And it's an album he made for his son specifically, but he's Neil Young, so he's like, here's my album for this year, put this out and put my name on it. And people are like, this is weird.
That's super odd.
And then he was, I think in the 80s, he was with a label that he really didn't like. So they wanted him to do some of his, you know, rock, like hick, like folkbilly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them an album, but it was a lot of collaborations, a lot of pop and stuff, and they were not happy with it. And they said, no, no, we want your, like, country-style stuff. And so he went and made a country album. He went to Nashville and recorded a whole country album,
mm-hmm.
and he gave that to them. And they're like, no, Neil, we want that, like, rock and roll hickerbilly kind of thing. And so he went back to Nashville, I think, and he made an album, and it's the only one he's released under a pseudonym, and it's called Neil and the Screaming Pinks. And it is a full on like rockabilly, like Elvis Presley style, like country rock. That label was so mad, I think.
That's
they
hilarious.
Like dropped him after that. And then immediately after they dropped him, he released his second or first most popular album, because he was just waiting. He was just burning through that contract until they wouldn't make any profit off of the stuff that he was going to put out.
That's a great fucking idea. That's a great fucking idea.
Oh, it's just such malicious compliance.
Oh,
it's so good.
But yeah,
it just sounds like there are these artists every once in a while that come around who. They're not like you said, Snoop Dogg, he just took a step back from his music career for a while and just stayed with his family. There are some artists that come around where they can't do that. They might not go on tour or anything, but Neil Young puts out an album every year because even if he's just staying at home with his family, he's got to continue to make music or else he will turn off like a robot.
Yeah.
Like that sounds like the deal. Sounds like the guy behind Gorillaz is somewhat like that.
Yeah, he's just super passionate about it, and like it just isn't a thing that he can't do. I mean, he's been doing it for most of his. I mean, Blur started becoming popular like in the early 90s, so he's been doing it for the better part of like 30 years now, and just from one project to another. The newest Blur album, it's been out for a few years now.
Wait, Blur is still operating?
Loosely. They kind of disbanded for a while, right around the time of the first Gorillaz album. It was like they put out the first Gorillaz album, they had one more album after that, and Damon and the lead guitarist had a big falling out for a lot of different reasons. And after that...
He's never like gone back and done anything with them.
No, he has. This was back in like 2003. They got a big falling out, and then around I forget what year it was. I'm trying to find it on their Wikipedia. Let's see here. Yeah, it was only a few years ago. It was like 2015 or 2014. They kind of buried the hatchet and got back together for another album. And they actually like the album was they were all basically trapped in Hong Kong for like a couple of weeks, like or so. Like they were there for some reason, and then something happened where they just like weren't able to leave, whether it was like plane issue, like travel issues or whatever, but they were all just kind of there in Hong Kong for a while.
Huh, okay.
And so they made a whole album kind of with the idea of Hong Kong in mind, and it's actually really good.
Did they just find a studio in Hong Kong and
I believe like... so, or it was all written there, one or the other. The name of the album is Magic Whip. But it came out in like 2015 or 2014, I think. It's been a couple of years. Been a few years.
Fascinating.
But
okay.
It was really good. I liked it a lot. But it's definitely a bit different. And you can, I mean, I think the biggest thing, like you can kind of tell in the, that album that's like right after the first Gorillaz album came out, you can kind of see the transition there, and that Damon seemed like he was kind of getting bored with the idea of the Blur, like,
yeah,
model of making music, and then
just wanted to go move on and do weird experimental things, like
weird...
start a cartoon band.
Basically, yeah. And you can kind of see it come back and forth on that a little bit. But yeah, he's got a really interesting history and just makes, like, consistently really good music. Like, basically just one of my favorite artists. Like, every time I hear that there's a new project that he's doing or, like, another album he's putting out, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to listen to that because it's probably going to be really good and I'm going to enjoy it. Like, you know, I've listened to enough of it so far that I know that pretty much anything he puts out I'm probably going to like. But, yeah. So, you got any, final thoughts on this album or anything else you wanted to talk about?
My only final thoughts are I'll probably listen to some of this music a little bit more, but I think it will pretty much exclusively be those songs from this album that are just the Gorillaz. And
that's pretty fair.
I'm definitely going to listen to and watch a couple music videos from their latest one, especially the Elton John one that you keep telling me about.
Oh, yeah. No, I forget what the name of the song is, like Pink Phantom or something.
Yeah,
but it's super good. It's super, super good. All their new stuff has been really good. I think my favorite is, God damn, I'm going to forget the name of it now. I was listening to that album like almost nonstop last week. But let me see here. I'm going to pull up on my Spotify really quick. Désolé is really good. And
Désolé.
So is Momentary Bliss, and then the Pink Phantom, and then Pac-Man on
I think I'm just going to probably just watch the music videos for it.
Yeah, there's music videos for almost all of them now. They're releasing some now, but they're all really good so far. The one thing I did want to say, the one like most depth like solo track that was on this album on Plastic Beach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Sweepstakes.
Yeah.
He did that in one take.
Oh, really?
The first recording take that they did for Sweepstakes is the one they kept. For that
no
for that
shit
song. Yeah, and that's like not my favorite song on the album. Like I think it's like pretty good, it kind of goes on a little too long, but like it's like, oh, this is pretty solid. And then once I found that, I'm like, oh fuck, okay, I mean, yeah, no, that's great for being the first fucking take. Yeah, good for you, that's awesome.
Got it in one, man.
Got
Mos Def is
one.
Pretty fucking cool.
No, Mos Def is really cool. I actually kind of wish he was in this album more.
He's on two songs, which I think he's the only person who's on there twice, but it's not enough.
Bobby Womack, who's also on Stylo, is on two songs. He's on Stylo, and then he's on Cloud of Unknowing at the end, which is kind of a dreary song, but I used to not like that song at all, and then I kind of went around on it. And also Bobby Womack has since passed.
Really?
And now listening to that song feels a lot different. I don't know if that makes any sense. And then, Little Dragon's on here twice, too. Little Dragon is really good. Their lead singer so I'm pretty sure Little Dragon's a band, not the name of the singer.
Or are you thinking of Imagine Dragons? Also,
no,
I just wanted to say, during this whole recording, your cat, Toby, has been...
It's been
freaking out.
Freaking out.
And it's been really funny watching in the background him just...
Bouncing around.
Sprint across your shelves.
Yeah, I'm hoping the recording isn't picking it up because it's super annoying. Yeah, Little Dragon.
Oh, no, it's definitely going to be picking up that bell noise.
Yeah, probably.
I think
it's fine.
Unfortunately, it's also, you know, like you said, it's the cold time here now. And I got away with it for most of the podcast, but then the heater clicked on and it's just been like going in the background. Yeah. So I've That's had a good amount of background noise for the past few minutes, but hopefully we can crush that out.
I could probably cut out in the background. It's fine. Probably, yeah. Maybe. We'll see what happens. Worst case, it's a little bit. Yeah, but no, Little Dragon, and they're actually in like two of my favorite songs on this album. So they're pretty good. But she does all the female vocals on this album. Is their lead singer.
Oh, okay.
Yukimi Nagano is her name.
All right. How are we going to make a drink based off this album?
You know, I've thought a lot about this album. I have not thought about that at all. I'm thinking like a tiki style drink, though, because I mean it's like beach themed.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're on a beach. It's plastic beach, but it's a beach.
It's a plastic beach. Should put it in like a plastic tiki.
Plastic tiki mug.
Yeah, that's necessary.
Really a cheap disposable tiki mug.
Yeah, it needs to be. Oh, we didn't really talk about the theming on this album at all, but...
The what?
The themes it's going through on this album.
Oh, the themes?
Yeah. Basically, the idea is... Oh, at one point, I think it was Damon was, like, sitting on a beach somewhere, and I guess was just thinking about pollution and, in general, like, littering, and started, like, looking through the beach and seeing how much plastic he could pick out, and... The idea to this album was almost like nature and plastic kind of, or nature and like pollution kind of becoming one a little bit, and kind of, I don't know, the best way to describe it, like being able to take advantage of that and turn that into a good thing, not a bad thing, I guess. Because he's definitely trying to revitalize nature, I guess, in general. But like the idea that we've already done so much damage to it that it's gonna have to shift in a different way because there's no way we're gonna make it back to what it used to be.
Yeah, you can't go back, but we don't necessarily have to stay in the position we're in right now.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of idea of it. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like something I think tropical, tiki style.
Tropical.
Yeah.
What would the main spirit be?
Probably rum.
Rum?
I would say. Be my first instinct.
So Damon, mm-hmm. What's his name? Damon?
Albarn.
David Albarn.
Mm-hmm.
Is he British?
He is British, or... yeah. They're both British. Oh, okay. Jamie Hewlett and Damon Albarn are both British.
All right, that makes me think that we should... there's a lot of, like, naval references in this.
Mm-hmm.
So we could either rum or gin, mm-hmm. specifically, like, a navy-strength gin.
No, I'm cool with that, too, yeah.
There is one navy-strength rum that I know of,
mm-hmm.
and it's my favorite rum, called Smith & Cross, which I'm pretty sure we've used on here
before. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have before.
Because fuck, it's so good. But I think making a tiki drink with gin in it would be an interesting... It would be experimental. It's in the vein of gorillas in general.
Have we messed around with a spin on a Singapore sling before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a... That is a gin based, and I've seen it described as a tiki style before, although...
I have seen Singapore Sling described as a tiki style, even though tiki drinks mostly come from the Caribbean,
yeah.
And this comes from the East Indies, mm-hmm. Singapore Sling, that is. But Navy Strength Gin, we can probably just start there.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Navy Strength Gin. I definitely spelled Navy with a Z.
There's no Z in there, Adam. Come on.
I am dyslexic, so.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Plastic Beach. What else is... Rhinestone Eyes, Stylo, Collaborations. I did not like Glitter Freeze.
Glitter Freeze is one of the weird ones. They have one of those almost every album where it's like just a like non-vocal track, where it's like a bunch of rhythms or beats or stuff like that. There's one on the previous two albums. I don't think they've really done it so much in the newer albums, but it basically was like a, when this came out, I was like, oh, hey, there's that one song that they did that's like the one song on the previous two.
It's the one non-vocal weird song.
Yeah, I don't mind it too much because it's kind of like a, it's kind of interstitial where it's like, just kind of there to move because, I don't know, the album starts slowing down a little bit towards there after Superfast Jellyfish. And then that gives a little bit of a space between Empire Ants and Some Kind of Nature and kind of helps it develop a little bit. I don't know. I don't like it as a song individually, but I like it where it fits in the album. I think it works pretty well.
I think that's one of the songs that has that sound that they used in Rhinestone Eyes.
Almost.
And it would make sense to me that every album, like up until now, had one song that was just noises that Damien was playing with.
Yeah, just stuff he's just messing around with.
And I think that makes sense that it's slotted in the center because it's kind of where the rest of the songs rotate around, because it's like, here are all the noises that I want to try. And then that's what filled in the rest of the album.
That's pretty much what he's done in the previous two, or the two ones before this too, because it's, what's the other one in?
I bet he stopped including those.
But I bet probably so,
I bet songs like that exist for the other albums they've released.
Maybe there's not one for Demon Days. I thought there was. I could be wrong about that. I know there's one in Gorillaz. It's called Double Bass. It's actually not a bad song, but it's definitely like just a bunch of beats and music all thrown together in a song, and there's no like backing vocals or anything. Okay, so we've got Jin, and we've got like some kind of tiki style so far. So I mean, like some kind of pineapple juice maybe as like a,
let's,
as
an element. Okay, so plastic, we're going artificial.
Yeah.
So I think we should not use lemon or lime.
Okay.
We should get our citrus by adding the citrus in.
Okay.
And yeah, it's sort of supposed to be a combination of natural stuff and unnatural stuff, air quotes.
Gotcha. So you want to do like an acid corrected something rather? Or?
Yeah. Maybe we do have pineapple juice in there, but we acid correct like orange juice, and that's where our citrus component comes in.
I'm pretty cool with that. Doesn't sound bad to me.
Yeah. And then a Singapore Sling gets also includes like grenadine or no?
Yeah, it has grenadine in it.
Grenadine?
Yeah, I've got the list.
I knew it had a red component.
It's a gin, cherry liqueur, or cherry brandy, Cointreau, Dom Benedictine, grenadine, pineapple juice, fresh lime juice, and Angostura bitters. But this is the one we've talked about before where the ratios are really fucking weird. It's supposed to be like a long style drink, so it's supposed to be like one that you can drink for a while. But it has like four times as much pineapple juice as gin, which is really weird.
It's basically pineapple juice with some other flavorings added in.
Some amount of booze in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I made one of these for Fidel's for Tiki Week, not this past year, before. And I just lowered my pineapple juice by a bunch. Like, I turned it into, like, a half ounce or a full ounce or something. Instead of, like, I think it's calling for, like, 4 ounces or something.
How would we, like... I think the inclusion of Dom Benedictine in that is interesting.
Yeah, I actually like the Dom in that a lot. Because what I ended up with was, I think, gin... I used Luxardo Maraschino for my cherry liqueur, Pierre Ferrand Dry Curacao instead of Cointreau, and then Benedictine I kept. I think I just took the grenadine out entirely. I'm pretty sure I did.
I could see taking grenadine out entirely because, you know, why would you have that?
Well, I think if you... I only had access to, like, bottled grenadine. If you had access to, like, house-made grenadine, it could be really good. Like, if you made it yourself, because I've heard good things about that.
I feel like we should add something in that's weird.
Yeah.
Like,
I think something to get that, like, plastic nature. I think you're onto something with that. Something, like, artificial. something really not quite. I mean, so the plastic beach in the artwork is pink. It's like bright pink.
Yeah.
This makes something weird, like, have you had X-rated before? Do you know what X-rated is?
What is it?
X-rated.
X-rated. I think I've heard of that.
It's a passion fruit liqueur, and it is bright pink. Bright pink pink, like pink. And it's not good, but it's definitely artificial.
Well, I was looking over at my liquor shelf, and I was thinking of, like, artificial things, like something weird. I saw, like, mezcal, and I was like, oh, mezcal kind of has that smoky, burnt kind of, that can give you sort of, like,
I could kind of see that, actually. Yeah, like a burnt plasticky.
It would overpower the Navy Strength gin.
Yeah, that would be the problem you run into.
But then I was also looking at Ancho Reyes, and I was like, maybe it's a spicy tiki drink.
That could be kind of interesting.
That's kind of off the wall. But,
What if you did like a do you think like a mezcal rinse would give you enough of the mezcal flavor to stick in without like totally overpowering it?
How about we do a half ounce mezcal float on the top like you would in a penicillin?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Kind of give it a bit of that flavor in the aromatics without really overpowering it.
Maybe we should use Peychaud's bitters because they're pink and they're just a little bit off.
Yeah,
like they're not Angostura bitters. They're not. Yeah,
I'm pretty cool with that too.
I think we're mostly cobbling together pieces. I think this is very much like a Gorillaz album.
I mean, that's fair. There's a lot of different collaborators in the kitchen here. It's a bad metaphor.
I almost feel like we need somebody else to come in real quick and collaborate on the drink with us.
That would have been a good idea.
Beans. Okay, so, or what are the pieces we have so far?
Navy Strength gin, Peychaud's mezcal float, and then some kind of acid corrected juice.
Yeah. Some sort of. Okay. What acid corrected juice should we use? Are we married to orange? I'm not married to orange, but I like orange.
I like the idea of pineapple better personally, especially if we're going for like a tiki style or like beach themed. Oh, hey, Kat's here.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. I texted my wife, Kat, because we should have a
last minute collaboration.
A last-minute collaboration on the drink we're making for Absolutely. The Gorillaz Plastic Beach.
Hi, Kat.
Plastic Beach. Hi. Yeah. Hi, Logan. What's
up?
Not
much. We're doing the album Plastic Beach by Gorillaz, and they have a lot of collaborators on all the songs.
Oh.
So for the drink, we thought we should, to stay in the spirit of the album, we should quickly grab a collaborator.
We're using you as a sample. That's what we're using.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm just here to help collaborate on the drink.
Yeah.
As the album. Okay.
So the album's called Plastic Beach. And
very
so we
clever.
We're thinking of tiki because it's beach.
Yeah, it's beach themed.
Oh, you should put edible glitter in it.
There is a song called Glitter Freeze.
I was just
looking
at that.
That's a super good idea.
That's good. I like that. And I think that gets
that
a little
be,
bit of
yeah.
the like artificial thing that we're looking for.
It will. And it'll give it, it almost will look like one of those weird mood lamps. I think, I don't
with
know.
It, with it swirling around.
Yeah.
Okay. I like
so
that.
The theme behind the album, Logan was telling me, was main musician was on a beach and he was noticing all the plastic on the beach.
Oh, so it's like an eco commentary.
Yeah, there's a lot
sort,
of that
sort
going
of.
On.
But he was the idea behind it is like sort of trying to think of if instead we can't go back to the way things were where there wasn't plastic on the beach, but instead maybe we could sort of combine the natural and artificial and make something better out of it, like a plastic beach.
I see. So something that wasn't harmful, but
different.
Incorporated
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do like that edible glitter.
Yeah,
like
that's a good idea.
We could. I mean, you have to be careful with, if you could get a good brand, because I feel like sometimes I've seen it in drinks and then once it settles, it kind of starts looking like soft soap. like
like it starts dissolving a little bit.
Yeah, and yeah. It, just the layering kind of looks soapy, which, I mean,
yeah. You know what? If you mean like the layering, like on top.
No, it's just the way it swirls in the drink. I think it looks pretty, but it does look pretty artificial. But I think I've seen cocktails that use it, and I've always thought, oh, that kind of looks like liquid soap. But
I'm kind of okay with that as long as it tastes good and it's edible.
Yeah, I don't think it really tastes like much of anything. And if you get maybe more of a like a non-colored, I guess you could use any one, but if it's more like a white, then it probably won't have any weird taste.
That's fair.
Okay.
I'm cool with it for that.
That makes me think that the form in which we should serve this drink is a shake and then just a dirty dump.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because it should have all the visibility of the
we layers. We have to put it in a glass then. There are glass tiki mugs.
Do you want this to be like a brightly colored drink?
Yeah. So I'm on the Singapore Sling like webpage on Wikipedia, and there's come in like those big sling, like.
Oh yeah, those big long.
Yeah, they have, like, almost like a wine glass, but they're really. It's called a hurricane glass, is what it's called.
A hurricane glass.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They're like really tall.
Oh, we should. Oh wait, hold on. We should totally put this in a hurricane glass because the shape is evocative of. The shape of the plastic beach from the cover art of the album.
Yeah,
so it's like a big stem and then like a big bulbous like
yeah I would agree with that
glass on top. Okay, yeah, this is going in hurricane glass. It's going to be dirty dumped. We were kind of basing it off of a Singapore Sling.
Okay.
So Navy Strength gin.
Mm-hmm.
How much should we make this like really boozy? It is a tiki drink, which makes me want to make it very boozy.
I'd make it really boozy. That's just I make all my stuff boozy, so.
So it would be, like, the booze components, I would say, would be 2 ounces of Navy Strength gin and then a 1/2 ounce float of mezcal.
Yeah.
And then we would have pineapple juice,
mm-hmm.
Acid, some sort of acid-corrected juice.
Try to lean into that artificial. I think I'm...
Acid, yeah?
I think I'm good with the orange juice, unless you can think of something more interesting to do.
The only thing more interesting I could think of would be acid-corrected blood orange juice.
I always just think that
might
that
be interesting.
Kind of a fun color.
I think that would help get it to the right color too. If you want to make it like pink,
yeah,
like pink.
Are you trying to go for pink?
Yeah, because again, like the album is very like this
colorful.
Sort of like this pinkish, orangish shade.
Yeah.
You could put some of that dragon fruit powder in, like freeze-dried dragon fruit, because it doesn't have a strong flavor, but it's like magenta. So I feel like if you just put a tiny bit in, it would get super pink.
That'd be
like a natural food coloring.
Yeah.
Plus, it's like a tropical fruit. It'll go well with the tiki theme, I think.
Yeah. And that still leads into the artificial stuff, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I've actually been wanting to use it because I was looking at, what has all the things that have, like, super bright colors that are natural. Like, and that was one of them. It's super, super bright.
This needs either a salt rim or some saline added to it.
Salt rim
because of
salt
the ocean.
Rim. We want, yeah, salt rim
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds really good.
For sure.
Mezcal.
And that's actually really cool too because the so like the beach itself on the plastic beach cover is pink or like pinkish orangish.
Yeah.
And then the house is white. So if you
salt rim,
got that white going on there.
Oh, that sounds.
We should garnish it with only plastic tiki things like a plastic stir straw, plastic umbrella, no actual fruit.
No fruit.
Maybe pineapple fronds because those are inedible.
I'm okay with that. I actually like the way pineapple fronds look too.
Yeah.
Oh, those do look pretty. Yeah, you could probably find like a plastic umbrella, I bet.
Yeah.
That could be really
fun.
Yeah,
plastic umbrella. You want those big like curly plastic straws?
Curly plastic.
Yes.
The silly straws. Yeah. The
silly
straws.
That we all
straw.
Had as kids.
Fuck
that
yeah.
Got really funky.
I would say either a silly straw, well, because it is plastic. Yeah, yeah. Silly straw.
But they are reusable too, so we wouldn't be like
there you go.
Super.
Yeah, that's
reusable.
A fair point. It's reusable. So, you know.
Yeah.
I would say either a plastic straw or like a bamboo or reed straw.
Hmm.
Because it would be the combination of like
the artificial
and natural stuff
and natural.
Together.
Yeah, you're actually kind of like
because it's a straw which is supposed to be plastic, but instead it's going to be made out of reed.
Yeah, you know I like that. I think I like the it's like a bamboo straw in there. It would be really cool.
Bamboo straw.
Yeah.
I love bamboo straws.
You know what?
Solid.
Bamboo straw works because again on the plastic beach cover album they have those big thick those like palm trees
yeah.
that look like sticks. So, yeah.
I'm cool with that. Okay, so what's our actual full components right now? We've got gin, the float of mezcal, peyshoads, and then are we doing acid-corrected
pineapple?
Pineapple juice.
And acid-corrected blood orange juice.
Blood orange juice, okay.
If you can get your hands on it. The flavor is distinct from orange juice, but it's not like the end of the world if you have to use orange juice with it instead.
I think I've had blood orange juice in something before. It's a little bit different.
What are the ratios that we're going with? Also, blood orange juice travels a lot better.
Yeah.
Like I've never worked with it like just squeezing it by hand. It's always been in like container.
Interesting.
Like containers of it.
Okay, so yeah, I think I agree. 2 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce of the mezcal as a float. Say
1 full ounce of pineapple juice.
Yeah, I think you can go 1 full, especially if you have a citrus element, like an actual acidity added. I think that would be fine.
We don't have a sugar component here.
Okay. What do you?
Which I think is okay if we have like 1 ounce of pineapple juice.
Are we still going off of like a Singapore sling? Because a Singapore sling has the Benedictine and or we can do like a cherry liqueur that could add in. Because if you did like
a herring.
Yeah, you could do a herring or you could do like Luxardo Maraschino in there.
How about we knock 1/2 ounce off of the Navy Strength gin, mm-hmm. so it's only 1.5 ounces Navy Strength gin, mm-hmm. and then 1/2 ounce of Luxardo Maraschino.
I'm cool with that.
Because that's boozy, but 1/2 ounce of Luxardo will fucking make this drink sweet.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And actually, I do I know it's like a cherry liqueur, but like the Maraschino liqueur Luxardo is, it's got like kind of like a, it's a very distinct, almost artificially kind of taste.
It does, yeah. It does have an artificial taste.
And
plus, it's
artificial.
It won't fuck with the color at all.
No, it won't. Yeah,
it is,
which
clear.
Is nice. Yeah, since it's clear.
Pretty cool.
And
that.
Then, how much
acid corrected?
I would say maybe even like 3/4 ounce.
Yeah, I would say 1/2 to 3/4. A full ounce, maybe, but I think that might be too much.
I definitely don't think a full ounce.
Probably gonna be too much. Yeah, I think 3/4, and then if it's too tart with that, dial it back.
Yeah, you can knock it down to 1/2 ounce if it's too tart, and then peyshoads bitters.
Yeah.
Boy, I sure do not know how to spell peyshoads.
Yeah.
P-A-U-D. Yeah.
Yep.
Apostrophe S, peyshoads. Yeah.
Peyshoads bitters. Okay.
It is spelled really weird.
It. Yeah.
It's okay. I still like. To this day, every time I try to spell liqueur, I like have to take a second try at it because it just it's the E's and the U's. I'm just like, I know that there's two of one of you in here, but I don't know which one it is. I've been bartending for like 2, almost 3 years now, so fuck me.
I think I haven't struggled with that word because I speak French, so in my head I'm like, yeah, that's how it's spelled.
Yeah. But... totally. That's totally how it's spelled.
It is weird though.
Hurricane glass. Okay, so what we have so far is 1.5 ounces of Navy Strength gin, mm-hmm. 1/2 ounce of Luxardo Maraschino,
mm-hmm.
1 ounce pineapple juice, 3/4 ounce of acid corrected orange juice, some dashes of peyshoads bitters,
mm-hmm.
shake all that, dirtied up into a hurricane glass, float 1/2 ounce of mezcal. And then garnish with plastic tiki accoutrement, a bamboo straw, and a salt rim.
Nice.
That sounds good. And I bet you probably don't even need to add anything with between the peyshoads and the blood orange. It'll probably look pinkish.
I do kind of like the idea of that glitter.
Yeah, you should just get some edible glitter and just like put a pinch
in there. Oh, wait, yeah, the edible glitter.
I don't think it'll add it much taste, but if you like put a couple pinches in,
we should. No, I think just for the visuals, because if you have a clear glass and you get the right color of the glitter, it should still stand out really well.
I mean, I know they have pink edible glitter too, so if you really want to just like get a color.
Well, I think if it was pink in this, I don't think it would show up as well.
You're right. If it's just like a clear glitter,
like a
then
blue
it'll just.
Glitter.
Oh, you want like
blue?
Blue might make this look greenish.
Or even like a...
It's going to look like Curacao.
Even like a confetti-colored glitter.
Actually, if you got red, it would probably lighten up a bit.
I'd say just any like edible any glitter. White.
I think white would look green, nice because then it won't fuck with the color. But
what if you just see, what if like, you just mixed a bunch of colors of edible glitter together and just threw it?
Yeah,
in
yeah, yeah. Just
it
confetti.
Might look muddy, but yeah,
that's fine.
All right. So the full. Oh, we have to think of a name for this drink now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like the obvious one is Plastic Beach, but that's a little too on the nose, I think.
That's a little on the nose.
A little on the nose. Not that we haven't done that before. I'm still pretty proud of, what was it, Howl's Moving Cocktail? That's pretty good.
Howl's Moving Cocktail, that's pretty good. I do like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking solid. At the last one we made, and it's the Keys Loop, and I fucking love that.
That one is pretty good.
All right. We based it kind of off of Singapore Sling. It's fake and artificial.
What about?
Wait, can we look back at the album tracks real quick?
Yeah, that's what I was about to do. Singapore I was going to pull up all the songs.
We can like do a.
I mean, we could call it Glitter Freeze.
Or
it would be Glitter
really
Sling.
The
super fast.
What's they never released their like rough cuts from this album, did they?
No.
The P-Sides.
Yeah, P-Sides is what it probably would have been called. Maybe that's why they never released it, though, because they would have to call it P-Sides.
P-Sides? I don't want that to be the name of the drink.
No, I wouldn't either.
Well, there's a Japanese edition bonus track called Pirate's Progress.
Oh, you should just call
yeah,
it
that's it's like a so it's a longer version of the orchestral intro that's on this album. There's a full-length version they had on their website.
And there's an iTunes Store bonus track called Pirate's Progress, Three Hearts, Seven Seas, 12 Moons.
That one I
Stylo,
don't know.
And then there's Stylo featuring Mos Def, with Mos Def featuring Bobby Womack.
That's the actual. It's probably another version of it or something.
And then Experience Edition bonus DVD, The Making of Plastic
that's
Beach.
Just like a commentary on the making.
I've actually watched that. I got the super deluxe version of this album when it came out, and it came with like a full like. Director's like background cut documentary on it. It was really
cool. I'm so surprised that they don't have song, the other collaboration they did,
Don Comatic.
Don Comatic in any of the special editions.
Now the only way that it's been released is with their singles collection that they released like a few years after this. It is like one of the only ways to get it on an actual album unless you buy the single.
On my iTunes.
Yeah.
Oh,
my vote is for Glitter Freeze. I think that's a pretty solid drink.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of want to get Sling in there somehow.
It definitely is the song that we both agree we dislike.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't like Glitter Freeze, but that would be even funnier. Sling. What if I had always thought, because I wanted to make a drink on Singapore. Remember when I was like, oh, if we called it like Malaysia Mayhem, but if you could just like pick something that's similar to Sling but not the same word that kind of fits with
slang.
That's not bad.
Slang.
But what about Hong Kong? You told a story about
That was for the Magic Whip. Magic Whip. Yeah.
What if we called it the Hong Kong Sling?
I'm not mad about that.
What if you called it something binge? Binge sort of slant rhymes
binge?
With Sling.
Yeah.
The Hong Kong Binge.
Or Fling.
Oof.
Because you said he only did that Hong Kong album as like a one-off with the Blur guys again.
Plastic Fling.
It's not bad.
Oh, the Plastic Fling?
The Plastic Fling's not bad.
Or the Plastic Sling.
The Plastic Sling is also kind of fun.
Or, I mean, you like Rhinestone Eyes, right? You can make it a Rhinestone Sling or...
Ooh, Rhinestone Sling.
Isn't it's got,
oh,
like,
really
it's
like
got like the glitter in it too and Rhinestone's kind of...
Oh yeah, that works.
Rhinestone... I really like
Rhinestone Sling.
Or should it be Rhinestone Sling or a Rhinestone Sling or the Rhinestone Sling?
Rhinestone
Sling.
A Singapore Sling? I guess a Rhinestone Sling.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Right, but the is not part of the Singapore Sling.
Yeah, it's just a Rhinestone Sling.
Oh gosh, he's typing it.
Yeah, I know. I always name my cocktails like
thinking. But it sounds more like an album track if you just call it Rhinestone Sling.
This is true.
That's true.
I'm just thinking in the spirit of the media.
Rhinestone Sling. Hold on.
Okay, I should probably see if I have work to do.
Okay.
But
thanks, Kat. It was a lot of help.
Yeah, hold on. I'm naming, this is the name of the actual drink is Rhinestone Sling featuring Kat.
That's good. That's good. No, that's perfect. Right, that's perfect.
See you.
See you
guys.
Bye.
The edible glitter, I think, is...
that's perfect, yeah. That's a really good addition.
Yeah.
It was a really good idea to bring her in last minute. I'm 100% there for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. That was fun.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
All right, so how to make a rhinestone sling featuring Kat is 1.5 ounces of Navy Strength gin, 1/2 ounce of Luxardo Maraschino, 1 ounce pineapple juice, 3/4 ounce of acid-corrected blood orange juice, some dashes of Peychaud's bitters, a sprinkling of edible glitter, shake all ingredients together, and then dump into a hurricane glass, and then float 1/2 ounce of mezcal on top. Garnish it with a salt rim, a bamboo straw, and some plastic tiki shit.
Yep, just whatever you got around. That sounds pretty great. I'm into that. Okay, cool.
Well, I like that.
Got any?
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. You got any final words, Adam?
I think the only final words is like I realize that I do like gorillas. I should probably take the time and listen to more of their shit.
Yeah,
you should send me singles that you like of them.
For sure.
I'll listen to them.
I've actually been listening through a bunch more of their stuff, so I'll pick some out. I'll send you some. Make you a little like Spotify playlist or something. Sounds good to me, man.
Well, I am really happy with how that drink turned out.
Yeah, me too.
And hopefully I really would like to get to taste that one like sometime soon.
Yeah, me too.
If you guys enjoyed this, please tune in next week where Logan is bringing a topic again.
It's always me. It's me every time. It's so weird.
Well, like, we usually trade off, right? Right?
Yeah. But like, I mean, every time you say that, it's always me. It's really weird.
Well, this was sort of like we were going to have a guest on, and this is sort of me and Logan really excited about the topic that we're going to be talking about next week, and it's Robert Wilhelm Ekman. A significant teacher and painter of the Finnish Romantic portraits era, who was operating in like the 1800s, and we were going to have our buddy Benji on, and Benji's really into Finnish and Nordic Romantic portraits, and but he hasn't heard of this guy, so
never
we thought that was really interesting.
Super weird.
He's never heard of Robert Wilhelm Ekman.
I mean, who hasn't though? It's so weird. Like he's such an anomaly. Such an anomaly.
AKA R.W. Ekman.
Yeah, geez.
Like
his fucking idol. Jeez.
He was such an early national romanticism portrait painter. I'll see you, Logan.
Later.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode. I had a lot of fun. Logan, did you have a lot of fun, Logan?
I had a really good time.
Yeah, it was a really good time. We got drunk. We talked about a thing. We made a cocktail.
That sure was a thing.
If you want to hear more about the cocktails that we're making, follow us on Instagram at Cocktail Conceit. We post more than just the cocktails on the show. We post cocktails that we're working on in our outside life. And if you want to ask us about media or cocktails or anything in between, contact us by emailing overlyhornybostonbusdriver@gmail.com. Logan, how do you spell that?
I'm not spelling that, Adam, but it is overlyhornybostonbusdriver@gmail.com. Pretty easy to figure out. And if you'd like to further support us, you can join us on Patreon, where you'll get access to exclusive content and cocktails made by yours truly. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Oh, hey, there's Toby.
It's Toby. There he is. He's got a spot. What do you know?